I've got kind of a funny title to end the year on. And if you saw the YouTube channel title, it's there, or Facebook already. But it's 2024, a black swan or a best year ever. Now, if you haven't heard of black swan, you can just Google it real quick and Google black swan event, and you'll see all the things that describe a black swan. Now, you know, swans are usually white and colorful and beautiful. Black swans are not bad either. They look good. But it's symbolic of an event that's not good. You know, some people find themselves just like Jeremiah did when he wrote Jeremiah 29:11, which was where I'm going to start. And Jeremiah is not necessarily a great devotional book. I know it personally because it's a dark book. But Jeremiah chapter 29 is a dark chapter, a darker chapter. It's a black swan chapter. Go back and read it. But Jeremiah 29:11 is a bright verse in the middle of a dark, very dark chapter of a dark book. Because Jeremiah does a lot of woe and crying and weeping and lamentations connected with it as well, because they both were written by Jeremiah. But a lot of bad things, bad times, bad stuff. So in the middle of a dark book, a black swan, so to speak, if you will, God brings a bright verse that brings hope to our tomorrow and our future. Listen to what he says here in the King James. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The New Living Translation says it this way, for I know the plans I have for you. Thank God, God has plans. And he's a planner. And thank God he plans ahead. Planning is winning, says the Lord. He said, they are plans for what? Good. Now, in the midst of the darkest chapter of the dark, of a dark book, God brings a bright beacon of hope. He said, I got good plans. And not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Now, context is important, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, precious saints of God. He goes on to tell us in verse 12 and 13 how to discover and to download these plans. Now, notice I didn't use the word develop, because some people plan all on their own. But Proverbs reminds us in Proverbs, trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3:5, one of my favorite verses, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own, just your own understanding about things. Certainly don't just lean on Google or lean on social media. He said, in all your ways, do what? Acknowledge him. What does that mean? 2023, 2024 translation means include the Lord. Don't exclude the Lord. That means he knows better than you. His plans are superior to our plan. So here's the context. Verse 12 and 13. Look at this. Then you shall call upon me. Do you think God's sitting up there scrambling right now? December 23rd, 23rd, what can I do for this sister? What can we make up to make it a good year for? He said, I have them already. I have the plan already. He said, then, because you know that I have something, he said, then you shall you, Everybody say, that's me. Call upon me. And you shall go and pray unto me. That means don't talk to everybody else. I've got the plan. And I will hearken to you, and you shall seek who? Me. And find who? Me, when you shall search for me with all your heart. So, saints of God, precious people of God, when does God hear you? Everybody say the answer, when you pray. So if you don't pray, see, prayer is proof that you trust God. Prayer is proof and evidence that you trust his plans and his purposes for your life. God doesn't hear you if you don't pray or talk to him or have conversation with him. So how's your conversation been? When do you find God, brothers and sisters? When you seek him. Jesus, our Lord, says, ask, you receive. Seek, and you what? Find. Knock, the door will be open. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, but the key is you got to do A-S-K. You got to ask. You got to ask, seek, and knock, A-S-K. When you seek him and search with him with all your heart. Now listen to me. This is something we all have to do personally. That's why we're having prayer together. Because God says, I want my people to seek me. To come and seek me. Don't seek each other. Seek him. Spend time. Now, here's why the old church saints used to do it. They used to come around the altar. And they would spend time seeking God. And God individually would deal with each person because he's big enough and he's bad enough. He's God, right? He can hear all the people praying to all his children praying to him at the same time. He's not nervous, nor is he hard of hearing. And so everyone would get their answer. Okay, I got it. But you don't get the answer if you don't pray. You have not because you ask not. And you ask and receive not because you ask what? Amiss or something way out in left field that's not in line with his word or not in line with his will. You have to go to him. And some people have to change their mindset because he's not telling us in context that my plan is not retribution. Because some people, because the devil has messed them up a little bit in their mind, think last year I was bad. I missed it. I made mistakes. Many of our hands would go up if we would ask. We missed the timing of God. We perhaps rebelled a little bit. We perhaps resisted his will somewhat. But God didn't say, I have a plan for those who are perfect. See, he's saying it in context in the middle of your darkness, your darkest hour, your most damaging situation. I have a plan. I have a plan. Woo! Glory to God. I have a plan. Everybody say, thank you, Lord, that you have a plan. So when we think retribution, we think God is going to destroy us or obliterate us because we've been disobedient or rebellious or obstinate to his will for so long, and he's going to punish me now. I've got to pay for the pain I've caused. But God says, I have a plan. God's plan, again, is not retribution. It is restoration, recovery, and renewal. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Now, here's three things you need to know about God's plan. The plan of, I call it the glorious, good plan of God. Because our subject is telling us the question, asking us the question, is there going to be a black swan event in your life in 2024, or is this your best year ever? And God's not up there wringing his hands saying, well, you know, sister, child of mine, I just don't know. We got a lot of bad stuff we got to come through. And I think this year is going to be worse. Do you think God plans that way for his kids? So three things you need to know about the glorious good plan of God. Number one, God has a plan. You don't have to do it. You don't have to develop it. It's a good plan. So it's a superior plan. It's the plan of God. Number two, there's time associated with the plan of God. This next year. So you got to ask him, Lord, what do you have in store for me in 2024? What's your plan for my life? This season that I'm in, next month, January. Number three, the plan of God is expected but not guaranteed. You can expect it that God is faithful to have it, but it's not guaranteed because we've got to get involved in it. He said you and I have to seek him, have to pray to him, have to ask him, have to search him with all of our hearts. We can't go to everybody else and then go to God. We got to go to him. Does that make sense? Everybody got it? So there is timing with the plan of God. What time is it now? It's New Year's Eve. We need to be sensitive to the time and seasons right now. Some think, now many of you know I work in the financial arena a little bit, in the insurance arena, but everybody's buckling it up because they predicted black swan event. Now that just a meaning figuratively that something bad's going to happen. Well, Jesus already talked about it. Perilous times will come. I believe they have come. He said, Jesus, from the lips of the head of the church, the lips of our master, evil men and seducers will get worser and worser. They will grow worser and worser. That means the bad people are going to get better. Amen. Some think and believe worser days and years are ahead. Rough and rugged times are upon us in 2024. Well, if you just look at everything and everyone else and listen to everyone else and not God, you'll start to believe that. And when you start to believe it, you'll start to receive that. You got to know what time it is. What time is it? 1 Chronicles 12:23 says, and of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. God, you got me here in 2023 and 2024. What am I supposed to do? And the heads of them were 200, and their brethren and were at their commandment. 2024 is on the horizon, brothers and sisters. What lies ahead? Will this be a black swan year? One of the definitions is with a high impact event and global uncertainty. Will the election year bring chaos to the United States of America? I mean, they're already fighting before the election. The courts are heavy with lawsuits about the election. Will it be another civil war in America? With threats of the great reset, financial collapse, wars, cyber attacks, an EMP strike, or worse, civil war? Or will this be our best year ever? Based upon God's word. And your faith in Jesus. And your faith in his blood. And in his name. Or all of the above. Look at what Proverbs 4:18 tells us. Proverbs 4:18. The way of the righteous is like a first gleam of dawn. Excuse me, which shines brighter until the full light of day. What does that mean? If we believe God and His Word, the future for the believers in Jesus, those who have been made the righteousness of God in Christ, everybody say that's me, is guaranteed to shine brighter and brighter. In other words, 2024 is to be our best year and most blessed year in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Now take just a moment to thank God for the best year. The best is yet to come.
Now if you believe that, you'll praise Him and thank you for it.
You don't see it and feel it because that's not faith. But you believe it. Amen. And if you believe that you received your best and most blessed year, you begin to thank Him for it. We're going to thank Him for it tonight. 2024 is ordained to be a better and brighter year. Can I have an amen to that? Now, at the same time, the Bible tells us that perilous times and persecutions are also part of the last global scene, last day global scene. In 2024, according to many respected prognosticators, talking about financial and governmental and, you know, civil leadership prognosticators, it's possible that a black swan event, this is the definition, listen, a rare event that seems to drop out of the sky with a world-shaking impact. Now, think about 9/11. Think about the pandemic back in 2020 through 2022, and et cetera, will be put forth. Now, they're predicting that. Well, if you read the book of Revelations, you'll see there's a lot of that. We just finished our Bible reading, right, for the year. And we're starting tomorrow on a new year in the Bible. How do we reconcile the idea that while the world could get darker, believers could count on their lives getting brighter? How can you connect and reconcile that in your own mind? Because God's Word tells us so. Now, first, our Lord Jesus Christ told us in Matthew 24, if you turn there and read that, we'll read that, verse 3, it says, now He sat on the Mount of Olives, Matthew 24, verse 3, and the disciples came to Him privately saying, because they needed to know, and many of us want to know, even today, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of Your coming and the end of the age? Now they asked Him three questions. And Jesus didn't say, wait a minute, guys, don't ask me those questions. And if He didn't say it to them, He doesn't say it to us now. You and I should be asking the Lord about 2024 and get details from His lips, clear, direct instructions from His heart. And Jesus answered and said to Him, look at this, take heed, let no one deceive you. That's the first thing He told them, because deception is running rampant in the world today. The spirit of Antichrist is already at work. For many will come in My name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Everybody say many. Many is not a few. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. We hear them now. You know, you hear it right now. Israel's getting invaded. Hamas is trying to come back. Hezbollah is supporting it. Ukraine and Russia are still going at it. Wars are happening. And wars are going to happen. But look at what He says after rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. That's the next level of instruction. He told us what's going to happen, what's going to be going on. He said, let no man deceive you, number one. And then two, see to it that you're not troubled. In John 14, He said, don't let your heart be troubled. How do we let our heart be troubled, brothers and sisters? We let our heart be troubled by what? Letting fear or worry come in. Our heart gets troubled. And just being transparent with you, recent months back in into October, actually, you know, some things happened, and you know, sometimes you just miss it or just make a mistake, and you let the door open, and fear got in. And it's a dickens to get that fear out. I don't know about y'all, but when fear gets in, it's like it's an insidious spirit that likes to latch a hold of your and choke hold your soul and say, I got you now. Because, see, when fear gets in, faith goes out. When fear comes in, faith goes out. When fear starts, faith stops. And that worry is a byproduct or like a cousin of fear. You start getting anxiety. And anxiety is just simply this, when your thoughts and your mind is torn apart by circumstances. You're ripped up. You can't sleep. You don't eat well. I guess I'm the only one that's ever been there. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he said, see to it that you're not troubled. That means I have to take responsibility for the condition of my heart. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise up against nation. Boy, is that happening today. And kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and pestilence, food shortages, you know, pandemics. That's what pestilence falls under that. Pandemics fall under that. And earthquakes in various places. We've seen that. And all these things are the beginning of sorrows. But in the middle of all of that, whatever may come, what black swan may land on America, as the prognosticators have spoken and said, for us, we're not to let our heart get troubled. Isaiah 60, verse 1 says this, speaks about God's people, Israel, and the church, us, and our future. He says, arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth. It's going to happen. And thick darkness over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So how do we get started the right way in 2024? I'm going to give you three things, and we're going to close. Everybody good? All right. So how do we approach the new year, and what should we be doing to get 2024 started the right way? Let's look at three things we can do. Number one, get your mouth in agreement with God's word. Everybody say, get my mouth in agreement with God's word. So your brains, listen, look, watch this illustration. You shouldn't have an opinion unless it's in here. What do you think about that? Because everybody always asks people stuff. What do you think about that? Did you hear about this? Or did you see this? What do you say? What the word says. Let me check my brains. And you open up your Bible and you say, I'm checking my brains, and this is what I say. Now, you're not in agreement with God's word, with God, your mouth in agreement with God, unless you speak his word. Amen. Or the Bible. As my mentor, Mark Hankin, says, this is mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. So if you don't know how to talk, you need mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. You need to get the word in your mouth. Now, how many of y'all drink coffee or like coffee? I can't drink it because of caffeine. A little bit. I'll be up here. Jittery. But anyway. So everybody, many of y'all like coffee. You know, one time, Dr. Rob Thompson, his wife, she cut scriptures up and put in his coffee. And every morning she fixed him coffee. And so she got up in the morning, and he got up in the morning, got his coffee, and he starts spitting. He said, "What's this?" He said, "You got to get the word in your mouth." What am I telling you this morning? Get the word in your mouth. Get your mouth in agreement with God. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Now, Psalms 39 tells us that we pray that take heed to our ways, that we sin not with our tongue. The most way we sin is with our mouth, 1 inch below our nose. The problems that we have most of the times are 1 inch below our nose. So let's start by start 2024 by setting the rudder of your lives. Because James 3 tells us that the tongue is like a rudder on a ship. It sets the course and direction for your and destiny for your life. Our tongue to sail in the direction of God's will for this year coming up. Find out what God has promised you in his word, then release it out of your mouth. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So, you speak it, you proclaim it, you declare it, you decree it. Those things that God's word says about your life. Now, we've been going over a discourse in our pre-service prayer group that everything gets done by speaking. Now, you can have the best year ever, or you can speak negative things into existence in your life, or you can speak your expectations of God's word coming to pass and manifesting in your life. The choice is yours. Are you listening to me? So, what an advantage God has given us that we can put his promises where? In our mouths. And declare our future by calling things that do not currently exist as though they did. Now, I double dog dare all of you. If you got a problem, start calling those things which be not as though they are. If you're sitting up in here this morning as a diabetic, call yourself healed and well. Praise God. If you got heart pain, back pain, chest pain, come on now, circulatory issues, your feet swell at night, your joints ache. Come on, what are you calling it? If you don't call it, it won't come. God called you, 1 Peter 24, by whose stripes you were healed. If you were healed, then you are healed. In the mind of God, you are healed. You're already healed. But your mouth has to be, your believer has to get hooked up to your speaker. You got to call yourself healed. So I double dog dare all of us, because that's on our vision list, right? Health and fitness is, some people say, well, you know, the doctor keeps saying. But what do you say? The doctor may have kept saying. But what do you keep saying? According to the word of God, I'm healed. Don't accept anything less, because this is to be your best year. What? By June, you're totally healed. No pills. No medicines. No shots. Somebody say, glory to God. Don't start talking about what this runs in my family. No, that what runs in your family doesn't have to run in your life in Christ. Amen. All right. So we can declare, decree, and proclaim that by the end of 2024 from the beginning. What are you going to speak? What are you going to say? What do you declare over your next year, next month, next week? If you don't say anything, you don't get anything. If you're silent, you lose by default. You fall to the lowest denominator. And most people are quiet. But Proverbs 18:21 tells us the tongue has the power of life and death. Come on now. And those that love it will eat its fruit. The power of life and death are in your tongue. Job 22:28 says, you shall declare a thing. And the King James says, you will decree a thing. And it will be established for you. That means it's got to come from your heart, through your lips, into your world. Amen. Loud enough for the three worlds to hear it. Heaven, hell, and the earth. Praise God. When you decree, that's what you'll see. Hallelujah. So the light shall shine upon your ways. Romans 4:17. God who gives life to the dead. That means something could have been dead and gone, destroyed in 2023. You can bring it back to life. Because God brings life to the dead. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you, quickens your mortal body. My hand can't work anymore. My fingers don't go all the way out. I can't lift my arm. You bring life to the dead, and you call those things which be not as though they were. You should have a be not list that you're calling. This be not, but it's going to be. Hallelujah. It for me in 2024. Amen. Call those things which don't exist as though they did. Now, this is some of the craziest things that Christians struggle with. Because God does it, your Father, and you just need to act like Him. What are you saying about 2024? What are you saying about your marriage? What are you saying about your family? Now, everybody got quiet when I said that. But everything gets done by speaking. Dr. Bill Winston, who's 80 now, 80 plus now, and his wife, Veronica, when they first got married, he said she'd be mean. He's a little older than her, but he was a Tuskegee Airman, and he was in the war. And so flying those airplanes, you know, he got his feet kind of messed up. So he needed his feet rubbed. And he said she would rub his feet rough because, you know, she didn't want to do it. He'd be tearing his feet up. Scalding his feet in hot water and stuff, you know. I mean, not intentionally, but it was just making it a little too hot to where you'd be gentle. She would cook angry, slamming the caps, pots, bang, 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 blam, blam. Noisy kitchen, right? You know, it becomes rough when you have to deal with strife. Are you listening to me? But what did he begin to do? He learned from Ed Dufresne, who's in heaven today. Ed Dufresne, speaking the word. You got to learn how to talk the word. And he began to speak Proverbs 31, over his wife. The word changes things. The word is powerful. Praise God. So what are you saying over your family? What are you saying over your family? What are you saying over your children? Your grandchildren? If you don't say nothing, you never get nothing. Call those things which be not. What are you saying about your money? Look at 1 Peter 3:10. It says, for the scripture says, if you want to enjoy life, who does? Everybody say, I do. And see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil. Now, evil is anything or anyone who takes you away from your God-intended purpose or plan. And keep from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Now, what we have to get away from is just being a fact reporter and a feeling repeater. We just repeat the facts and we repeat our feelings. But see, that's what the 10 spies did in the Old Testament. They came back and says, well, this is the pomegranates and grapes and the... But the giants were there, and we're not able to possess it, and it's too much for us to have that kind of life. And what did the Bible say? They brought up an evil report before the Lord. There was a gentleman who was pushing 90. He was 89, and he told Kenneth E. Hagin one time, he said, you know, he had all his hair, and he had all his original teeth in his mouth. And as far as man is concerned and his marriage is concerned, his wife confirmed he's still fully functional. He worked full 10 to 12-hour days in his late 80s. Slept his, 5.5 to 7 hours a night asleep, got back up with no alarm clock, and repeated the process. In his late 80s, all his teeth. He said, how'd you keep all your teeth in your mouth? How'd you keep all your original hair? He said, I asked the Lord to keep this. Lord, help me keep this. And he said, he was in a small town, obviously, and he said, everybody gossips, everybody talks. That's the favorite pastime in his community, that everybody wants to talk about somebody there. And a lot of times people talk about behind people's backs. And when they ask him, brother so-and-so, what do you say about that? He would always say this, I have no comment. Because he had prayed, Lord, help me keep this. Keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. You know, to gossip is to lie on somebody. To contribute to their downfall, their demise, or their destruction. I know our flesh likes to do it, but our faith shouldn't want to do it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So practically, here's some things we can say. Say things like this. I am always in the right place at the right time. I am surrounded with God's favor. I am protected, and he orders my steps and directs my paths in the name of Jesus. I am blessed. I have God's wisdom. I am led by the Holy Spirit. I have abundant life in every way. I am healed, healthy and whole, and full of energy. I get stronger every day. I have peace of heart and a sound, peaceful heart and a sound mind. I have a blessed memory. I have a good memory in Jesus' name. In Christ, I am spiritually, mentally, and emotionally healthy and holy in Jesus' name. I am an ambassador for Christ. I am an effective witness for my Lord Jesus. I'm loved by God. The name of Jesus is a strong tower, and I am safe in him. The Lord is my refuge and my place of safety in 2024. The blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin, sickness, spiritual dysfunction, and satanic oppression in all its forms and manifestations. The blood of Jesus covers me, my family, my church, my community, and my country. The blood of Jesus sanctifies me to the perfect will of God every day and in every way. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. The enemy is defeated, and Jesus is Lord over my life and my family. Jesus Christ is Lord over 2024. Now you get the idea? The law of words you set into motion, life or death, blessing or cursing. It's your choice. Amen. You can customize those things as God promised you. We'll have some new things to say for 2024 because God wants us to talk bigger. You know, it's a difference between our oldest grandson and our youngest in the way they talk, their capability to talk. When they're really young, you don't know how to talk very well. You communicate, but it's through sounds and verbiage, and it's not always clear. But it's a little clearer with the older one. God wants us to talk bigger and better in 2024. Come on, lift your hands and ask God to help you talk bigger and better for 2024 right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. See, on the contrary, be vigilant and don't say things like this. Listen to this. I'm so sick and tired of that. I'm so tired. I can't take it anymore. I'm scared to death. Isn't that talking evil? I'm falling apart. I can't get a break. That just kills me. I can't stand this or that. Everyone, every year, it gets worse and worse. I never have enough. Nothing ever goes my way. I knew it wouldn't work out. I'm in a panic. It just worries me to pieces. If it's not one thing, it's what? See, y'all know the phrases. The struggle is real. don't declare evil or lies. But say things that are, and by saying things that are contrary to God's word and what he has promised. 3,000 plus exceeding great and precious promises. Fill your mouth and fill your heart with them, and then release your faith on them. I know y'all have heard this before, but I'm just repeating that because the Lord. Now, so it's true that power and life and death is in the tongue, and we eat the fruit of our words, but let's start off 2024 by speaking words that will produce fruit that we want to eat, not rotten fruit. Words matter. Words make you sick or they'll heal you. Words will make your children want to come to church or want to make them want to stay home. Words will determine the atmosphere and the climate of your house. Matthew chapter 12. Everybody good? I got a little bit more to give you, two more to give you. I'm going to conclude this one in Matthew chapter. Look at the verse. Jesus said this: either make the tree good and its fruit good, Matthew 12:33, or else make the tree bad and fruit bad. But if a tree is known by its fruit, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Well, the answer is you can't. If you got an evil heart, you're going to have an evil mouth. And the easiest way to locate somebody is to hear what they say and how they talk. Because you can't have a good heart and an evil mouth. Look at what he says. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Speaks, the overflow. What's in excess in your heart, the deposits of your heart, is what comes out of your mouth. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart, treasure is the word for thesauruses or words. We use the thesauruses to find different words for different things. But it means deposit of words. If you put the right words in your heart in abundance, that the right words are going to come out of your mouth. He said, an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say unto you, for every idle word that men may speak, it may give account for in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Words are more important than we oftentimes realize, brothers and sisters. I'm spending a lot on this point because this is the first important point. What is the purpose and what power and potential of our words? We remember the old saints used to tell us the story, like Oral Roberts' mom and Richard Roberts' mom and Brother Copeland's mom and just the people that we see now that are generals in the body of Christ. You know, they heard words from Jesus and they spoke those words over their children. His words. Not just any words, his words. Amen. Amen. Words make us or break us. Words heal us or make us sick. According to the Bible, words destroy, depress, and discourage us, or make us full of life, happiness, and health. According to the teachings of Jesus here, we see that there are no inconsequential words. That means every word we speak matters. He said, by your words you'll be justified, declared righteous, or by your words you'll be condemned or sentenced to punishment. Also, we see that whatever's in our heart determines what we say. Other translations, one we just read, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, Jesus gave us the big math formula of our mouth. M equals H plus A. Mouth equals heart plus abundance. Now, if you're not speaking intentionally or inspirationally by the word of God and according to the will of God, then your heart is empty. Because if you don't say anything, you lose anyway. So you got to fill your heart up. That's why we have daily Bible reading. The Bible is not to be just read with our eyes and our brain, but it's to be read out loud with our mouth. How do you feed your spirit? You feed them through your mouth, through your ears. speaking the word, reading the word out loud so your ears can hear it, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if your mouth is saying stuff that's not right or not righteous with God or agreement with God, then get your heart overhauled. Spend some time in his word and fill your heart up with his word. You can't afford to skip days and days on end of not reading the Bible or feeding the Bible. You feed your body three meals a day, but you don't feed your spirit anything all week. We must also understand the power and potential of words. It means that words we spoke yesterday make life what it is today. What are you speaking over your tomorrow? If you're not happy with what you have, check out what you've been saying. Number two, we're almost done. Live by faith and not fear. Everybody say, live by faith and not fear. As believers, our DNA is faith, not fear. To live by faith is to take God's word at his word, to believe he meant what he said, to trust that he really does love us, and he does good. Then to act boldly in accordance with those beliefs. Faith is acting upon the word of God. Isaiah 41:10 in the Passion Translation says, do not yield to fear, for I'm always near. Never turn your gaze from me. For I am your faithful God. I will infuse you with my strength and help you in every situation. Do you hear that? I will help you in every situation. I will hold you firmly with my victorious right hand. I like the right meaning, because that's most people are dominant right-handed, but nothing wrong with left-handed people. But right hand, but it means his righteous hand. He's going to do right by you by holding you up. Listen to what the Amplified Classic says. Fear not, there is nothing to fear. Everybody say, there's nothing to fear about 2024. Amen. So I am with you. Well, that's a good reason. Don't look around you in terror and be dismayed, meaning being broken in the mind. For I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice. See, to live by fear, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, is to doubt God and his word. To not believe he meant what he said. To not trust that he loves us. Nor that he does good and has a glorious good plan for us in 2024. Then to shrink back, hunker down, and live a small, timid life in accordance with those beliefs, those fear-filled beliefs. And everybody say, that's not good. See, because most people only change to the size of their problem and their pain. They never grow to the level of their potential. They're like Jonah. They're running from the truth and your assignment. Now, that just came to me, so that's by the Holy Spirit. God didn't call you to run and be a rebel. God called you to run toward him and run hard toward his will and purpose for your life. Everybody say, glory to God. So we don't live in fear when we can live by faith in 2024. If God is for you, who can be against you? Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. And he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. He does not give us a spirit of fear. So if fear is there, it's a foreign entity. It's a foreign substance. as the Lord said it to me, like I said back in October, he said, you've allowed fear to enter in. And it's attempting to take a deep stronghold in your heart and life. Everybody say, don't do that. All right, number three, sing your song and keep your joy. What was the first one? Get your mouth in agreement with God. What was the second one? Live by faith, not fear. The third one? Sing your song and keep your joy. These are the days, guys. Brothers and sisters, we're in for it in 2024. Best year ever. But some bad things may happen. We're born for this. Like my son says, let's go. Some people don't want to go. Whether we are in the midst of trials and persecution or celebrating a great blessing and victories, we, like Esther, are here for such a time as this. When we stay full of joy and with a song in our hearts, this keeps us strong in the Lord. If Satan can't steal our joy and our song, he can't keep our goods. Amen. Strong for ourselves and strong to help those others around us. The Bible is full of stories where God gave his people supernatural victories as they sang praises, sang his salvation and songs of deliverance, and kept their joy. Everybody say, keep your joy. Now look to someone next to you or look around, smile real nice at them and say, keep your joy. And sing. Now I want to challenge you, because I put out a little blog or writing. It's in your face. Now you can tell if you got joy because it's in your face. We said the first level of joy was to what? Get the frown off your face. You have no joy when you're mean mugging people. When you're looking like you've been sucking on sour prune juice. Amen. You got to get the frown on your face, and then you got to smile. Cheer up. Smile. That look like you're just going through, and nobody understands what I'm going through. And how mean, and I got cussed out, or somebody treated me bad. And you always know when you're feeling mistreated, the devil's working on you. That's the devil. That's not that person, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Now, he might have used that person. He might have come through that person, but don't take it personal. I know there was a coach that always said it. We took it personal. We kept receipts. That's not the way to live. Don't keep receipts. Don't take it personal. Because the devil is a meanie. Praise the Lord. And when you start feeling mistreated or misaligned, maligned, you know the devil's working on you already. He's trying to take your joy. And if he can take your joy, he can take your strength. And he can keep your goods and keep you from your destiny. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Now, singing your song is the first part of that, because singing is one of the higher levels of joy. Now, I want to challenge all of you all here, brothers and sisters, young and old, every age in between. Increase your singing to the Lord. Your worship in private will be evidence in public. Now, I will say this. One of the things that we have not got to in a place, because we have some good songs. Thank God for our praise team and the praise leaders. Where is the worship leader? But we act like it's foreign language sometimes. Because we don't realize that the Father likes singing. You know, one of the Psalms says, sing to the Lord a new song. And the inference was every day. So as you're walking and talking with the Lord, He wants you to turn around and sing to him. Now, we sing songs about the Lord. Some of us listen to the radio, K-Love or wherever, or we got our favorite music playlist going. And we're listening to music, but God wants you to become the minister of music. He wants it to come through your lips, from your heart, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, to the Lord. That means if you're in the shower, in your bedroom, your bathroom, your boardroom, in your car, put on your favorite praise and worship song, and then let it come out of your heart and your lips and sing to the Lord. The Bible even says, sing to the Lord all the earth. That means nobody's exempted from singing. Now, everybody's not qualified to lead in singing, but we all should be singing. Everybody say singing. Singing your song. You know, our youngest grandson will be one tomorrow. Say, everybody say happy birthday, Kobe. So the brother likes singing. Sometimes when we, his Oma and Papa get a chance to keep him, we enjoy singing with him. Because sometimes he'll just look at us, and then you can hear him. I heard him this morning. The first song, he's making noise. But he said, make a joyful noise. I said, there he goes. He's already making joyful noise. And some of us can't move our mouth. We can read the words, but they don't come out of our mouth. And then we got our 0 year old, almost one. I can hear him from the very back. And his leg is going. Somebody say glory to God. But I'm talking to every one of us in here. The one's big, it's cute when it's little. But it ain't cute when you 30, 20, 40, 50, 70 years old, 50, 70, 60 years old, and you can't even open your mouth. And you wonder why the curmudgeons crawl all over you. Wonder why you're always cramping and complaining and criticizing. No joy. Y'all get something out of this today? Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to what I'm saying. When we stay full of joy with a song in our hearts, it keeps us strong. Last scriptures here, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? Rejoice. Nehemiah 8:10, don't sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That means no matter what happens in 2024, don't get sad, bad, or mad. Stay full of joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Psalms 32:7, you are my hiding place. There's many times I've repeated that song. In the bathroom, you preserve me from trouble, Lord. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I thank you that you've given me a song to sing my way through this situation, my way out of this dilemma. Praise God. You'll give me a song, and as I'm going and driving to an appointment or work or wherever, and the song will download in my heart, and I'll just sing it. I'll just put it on repeat. Repeat. I'll be singing it. And sing my way to victory. 2 Chronicles 20. The king appointed singers. You ought to have an appointed time to sing. Now, I know some people say, well, what about different kind of music? No, I'm talking about music to the Lord. Now, the other stuff, I don't know about all that. I'm not going to criticize you for it, but I'm going to caution you about it. Sing songs about the Lord, because that's connected to your joy. Sing songs to the Lord, because that's connected to your heart. Are you listening to me? He appointed singers and musicians out ahead of the army. That's the way you fight your battles. Because Paul and Silas in Acts 16 at midnight prayed and they sang praises, sang hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. They just got beat up. But they weren't ashamed to praise his name. And it didn't say they overheard them. They were in the lower prison, the the inner prison, it said they heard them singing. The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. Suddenly a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. Can you see the connection between choosing joy, singing his praises, and having his strength and victory? I hope you can. So carve out time every day to sing. Go for a drive and put your playlist of praise on. Worship and then sing every song from your heart to the Lord. Watch the Lord bring strength and joy, breakthrough in your life. This is the recipe for 2024. Amen. So in the end, as I'm closing, it doesn't matter if it's a Black Swan event or not this year. If we put these three things into practice, we'll have the best and brightest year yet. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Come on, lift your hands. You can stand with me. Lift your hands and thank the Lord. Hallelujah. For best year ever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Holy Spirit.